So the truth is that what I'm sharing with you today are the basic business fundamentals. I use them all the time because even if you're successful and you've been in business for a long time, the market is always shifting and changing. You are shifting and changing. Your ideal clients are shifting and changing. So launching is something that we need to get comfortable with, and it becomes part of our natural business operations process by understanding where the market dynamics shifting. Have I overlooked a client segment that now would be a great client segment for me today? Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And this is a special five-part series that I'm sharing with you based on a five-day virtual training that I gave just a couple of weeks ago. And this is for you if you're just getting started on this path of entrepreneurship as a coach or consultant, or if you have been on this path for a while and things aren't going the way you planned. Or maybe things were working and you had a groove with the clients that you were working with and what your offers were, and suddenly it's not working anymore. And it's also important in this ever-increasing and ever-crowded marketplace of coaches and consultants that you have a message and a platform that enables you to stand out and carve out a prominent position. So in the Proven Profit Path, there are five things that we're going to cover, and we're going to start with our first episode is Find Your Profit Path. And this is where you'll be introduced to the four P's framework for how to identify your unique voice so that you can easily attract high-paying clients that wouldn't think twice about paying to work with you. On the second week that we share this, we will talk about proving demand. So you'll leave that session clear on where demand is for what you offer and the exact outreach strategies to use to find clients who are actively looking for your expertise. And that's an important session, right? So if you don't have demand, we don't want to be building supply. On the third session in this series, we're going to talk about how to establish your packaging and pricing. This is the place everyone wants to go to first. So you'll leave that session with a bulletproof pricing model that will not only help you charge your worth, but it'll give you the right offer structures that will command high ticket price tags. This is the session where I introduced my services value ladder, and that is a key framework for you to understand as you launch services into the marketplace. And our fourth episode will be Position Yourself for Profit. And that's where you learn how to identify the most profitable position you can take in your marketplace to attract clients who will be more than willing to open their wallets to invest in working with you. So we're in this, you know, we're always in something, right? So the world is constantly changing, as I said, and right now we're in this unpredictable economy. In the US, we're about to go into an election year. We've got some unrest in parts of the world. And you need to just stay focused on your value and position yourself in the marketplace with the most profitable position for you so that you are immune to what is happening on the outside world. If not immune, you're actually resilient with what's happening on the outside. And day five is, how do you get all this done? How do we optimize your CEO schedule? So that's episode five in this series, where I'll share with you my step-by-step process for how you prioritize your time, automate your business systems, delegate to accelerate your revenue growth in the next 90 days. Now, this was a video series. This was live in a Zoom room. And so there are some things that I'm sharing that you won't be able to see. And there will be times at the end of each episode where I say, tomorrow we're going to cover. And when I say tomorrow, I'm really meaning next week in our next episode. And if you would like the workbook that goes along with this training, you can grab that in the notes underneath this recording. So wherever you're grabbing this podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Overcast, wherever you're listening to this, you can download the workbook right below in the show notes. And if you have questions for me, if you'd like to get access to the actual videos and see them, just reach out to me at deb@thegreatdoover.com and we'd be happy to give you a link where you could actually go through the video training. So this was an amazing, amazing time to be together. There were 101 women who signed up for this training. I think we served a total of about 50 during the week in the live room, and many were watching the replays. So enjoy this, binge this series, my friends. This is a bingeable series for you if you are looking to really dial in your business growth strategy. Enjoy. Hello, ladies. It's so amazing to see you here today. I'm excited to share our training with you. I've read all of the assessments, and I know we have people in this room who want to get clearer on their offerings, who maybe haven't launched yet, and you want to see if this is a way that you want to go. And many of you have been in business for a bit of time, and you're wondering if it's time to shift things up. How do I launch a new offering? How do I get more scalability in my business? And all of that is on the table for this week. So I'm super excited to share with you here today. Welcome, welcome. Looking for a clear goal and plan for your new business, a roadmap. That's exactly what you're going to get this week, my friends. And I am super excited to share with you in this way. So I'm going to dive right in and we'll have plenty of time for Q&A. So while we're getting started, would love to hear from you in chat. What is your intention this week? And I think intentions are so powerful because you get what you intend. And it's true for your business journey as well as it is for the next hour that we're going to spend together. So what do you intend to get out of this training this week? And also, how do you intend to show up? It's one thing to sign up. It's another thing to show up. And it's another thing yet still to do the work. And identify your gaps. So the workbook has blanks in here. It also has some spaces for reflection. So identify where the gaps are in your strategy and where you want to focus the most time this week. So about me, I never intended to be an entrepreneur. I am an accidental entrepreneur. I spent a good part of 25 years in corporate in various positions in sales, marketing, product development. I was an intrapreneur in many ways. From a StrengthsFinder's perspective, I am strategic, activator, relator, woo, and achiever are my strengths. I led an internal startup from zero to 32 million and grew it to 32 million in 30 months and had 53 people working for me. And then I found myself in the middle of a divorce. I was facing burnout and menopause, and my mother's dementia was advancing rapidly. And so I thought, why not? Why not start a business? What better time than being in the midst of all this change than to also make the leap into entrepreneurship? I replaced my salary in 3 years with an average 70% year-over-year growth. It's that simple strategy. It's not about doing all the things. Less is indeed more when it comes to launching and growing a business. And if you're new to me, you might not yet know that my mission is to close the wage gap in entrepreneurship. That if we thought things were bad in the corporate world, that women were making only 70 to 80 cents to the dollar compared to our male counterparts, it's even worse once you make the leap. Women earn only 30 cents to the dollar. And I believe that this comes from an innate sense of worthlessness. Not that you're worthless, but when it comes to pricing, there's a lot of mindset work that goes into figuring out, well, what am I worth? And when we dive into pricing on Wednesday, we'll take a good look into that and why I think that is happening and give you a new way, a new way of looking at pricing and looking at your value that will forever change the way you price your services. And I think, you know, this conditioned society and culture has conditioned us that women are worth less than men. I mean, and that has been our history of fighting for our rights and being able to choose and being able to vote and being able to have rights. And some of that still conditions us today. So I want to get to know you. Where are you on your business journey? So the truth is that what I'm sharing with you today are the basic business fundamentals. I use them all the time because even if you're successful and you've been in business for a long time, the market is always shifting and changing. You are shifting and changing. Your ideal clients are shifting and changing. So launching is something that we need to get comfortable with, and it becomes part of our natural business operations process by understanding where the market dynamic shifting. Have I overlooked a client segment that now would be a great client segment for me today? So here are the top themes that I took away from your assessments that you completed. Number one, you wanted more clarification on the core business elements of how do I identify my ideal client? What are my offerings? How do I price them? Sales, marketing, and lead generation, how to get more ideal clients and get my business goals on track. So on Thursday, when we talk about your preeminent position in the marketplace, we'll be talking about marketing and lead generation because that's what your preeminent position is all about. It's all about gathering attention, attracting your ideal clients to you, and engaging them in a conversation. That's all marketing is, and sales is about how to price and have closing conversations. The third thing we heard with growth strategies and business planning, those of you who are more successful want some help to take the business to the next level. And while we will not be talking about adding to your team in this week, we will be talking about how to add to your product portfolio or how to streamline your offerings for greater success. And I've been, if this gives you any context, I've been in business for 10 years and we are doing a complete business rebrand. We just launched a new service offering in our portfolio last month, and we're relaunching our Impact Accelerator with a new focus. So as I mentioned, you know, no matter how long you've been in business, understanding how to keep your business current with demand is super important. Number four, pitching and selling services. I hate the word pitching. I always think of it as extending an invitation. So how to get better at sales and sales conversations and authentic sales conversations is what we'll talk about also on Wednesday. And the mindset, confidence, and accountability will be woven throughout our week. Trusting yourself and building the confidence to go through with your ideas is about the mindset of an entrepreneur. And the truth is, you've never been here before. We've never been in this exact place before. So in essence, you are carving out a new identity as a business owner from a corporate leader. And so I think we need to give that its due and understand that there is an entire corporate detox period that you'll go through, that there will be a honeymoon period where you'll be all excited about what's happening next. And there'll also be a period where you've started questioning your decision and searching the job boards. So just, I want to normalize all of this for you because there are several stages of mindset that you go through as an entrepreneur and it never ends. And that's the beauty of it because it truly is a growth path. So I believe entrepreneurship is the new feminist movement. There's nothing quite like waking up in the morning, having an idea, deciding to implement it, and deciding to invite other people to come along with you for the ride. And that's what we're doing. We're creating ideas, we're packaging them, we're conducting marketing and sales activities that attract our ideal clients to us, and we're making money. And there's nothing quite as freeing and as empowering as entrepreneurship. So today's agenda is the proven profit path framework and how to plan for profits from the start. And we'll talk about the demand first approach. So I don't know if any of you have heard the adage that sometimes you're a hammer in search of a nail. And that's the approach that many new entrepreneurs go through is they create the solution and then they go look for the buyers. And we're going to flip that script and create demand first. And then your preeminent position in the market. And that's important because it is a crowded market. And while there's never been a better time than this, there's also never been so much competition vying for the same eyeballs, same attention. I don't know if you heard last week, LinkedIn reached 1 billion users, which is great. Coaching is a $16 billion market. Consulting is a $64 billion market. So no matter what your flavor of coaching or consulting, you're entering into a market at a time where a lot of people are sounding like you. So we want to make sure that you get to carve out a differentiated position so that you can succeed in growing and scaling. And we have the four levers in place, right? So the four levers to predictable profits are proven demand, that you have demand in the market, that people want to buy what you're selling. They understand that they have a need for your services and they're actively looking for solutions. And then you need to have profitable pricing. You don't get anything if you can't price your services profitably. You'll run out of business. And then a preeminent position in the prioritized plan. So the facts are we're in the great breakup, according to McKinsey and leanin.org. It makes me sad, actually, that we're still in this position after the 30 years or so since I've been in corporate, 30, 35 years, that women are still struggling to succeed. And many women from the director level on up have decided that it's too much of a struggle. The glass ceiling is too strong and they'd rather lean out than lean in. And that's been called the great breakup. 88% of women entrepreneurs, you might not know this, earn less than $100,000 a year. I mentioned the revenue gap. 75% of all businesses fail for one key reason. Can anyone guess? Can anyone guess why 75% of all businesses fail? And no fear if you were at the chief call last week and you already know the answer to that. Anyone take a guess? What's the number one reason for all small businesses failing? They give up. They might. Quitting. They could. Lack of consistency, run out of cash, lack of sales, lack of leads. Resources, pricing. Yeah, so there's the number one reason for failure is no market need. No one wants to buy what you're selling. And the reason why I love that as the number one reason for failure is because it can be easily fixed. And that's exactly why you're here today, is to talk about how can I be sure there's a need for the solutions that I want to sell so that we can plan for profits. So here's the proven profit path framework. And wherever you see this little workbook icon, that means that there's a section in your workbook that you can fill in. We want to prove demand. We want to find demand for your services before you build supply. So think for a minute, you know, how would you find demand for your services? You wouldn't be here if you didn't have an idea that people had a need. Sometimes we see a need and people aren't really aware of the need yet. So we want to make sure that we can prove demand. And also in this stage is where you really get to differentiate yourself. You don't differentiate yourself down here when you're trying to create a preeminent position in your market. Your differentiation comes from testing the demand for who's an ideal client, what does the offer look like to them, how would I price and package this, how do they want it delivered. And that is the key for you creating your messaging strategy that enables you to occupy a preeminent position in your market. And then packaging and pricing for maximum advantage. And on Wednesday, I'll talk about the five most common pricing mistakes that people make. Women particularly undercharge for their services. And the one insight I want to leave you here is no one is paying for your time and no one is purchasing your self-worth. So when we come to pricing, we're going to have a really deep conversation about how you value yourself. And then the preeminent position in the market, whatever you feel about marketing today or sales, sales today is a content play. And I will tell you that 50%, at least 50, if not 60% of my time right now, which is why we have an open headcount for a marketing leader, 50 to 60% of my time right now is content creation. And I hire copywriters. So it's not just what gets handed to a copywriter in a campaign or a sales page or something like that. It's the day-to-day content that needs to be created from you and cannot be interpreted by a social media agency or a social media freelancer who lives in another country. So if you really want a preeminent position in your market, then content creation is your job. And then we want to prioritize the plan. It's so easy to hit resistance and procrastination and perfectionism, especially when you're first starting out. To prioritize your CEO schedule means that you're focused on very, very few things. And when we get into it on Friday, we're going to talk about the 80-20 rule when it comes to your time. So the proven profit path actually gets you more money with less effort, helps you make a greater impact. You have increased predictability in your revenue stream, which doesn't want predictable revenues, because you've carved out this very simple system that you can rinse and repeat that's proven to give you the results that you need. And when profits are scarce, one of these five things are happening. Number one, you're guessing instead of testing your offers. You've assumed demand. So you've gone right ahead and you've started building out your consulting frameworks. You've started building out your offers and you've assumed demand before testing. Your pricing isn't in alignment with your goals or your true value, or isn't in alignment with your market. But pricing not being in alignment is really more about you and your goals and the true value that you want to bring to your work. And your brand positioning and visibility are hurting you and not helping you. And also, if you're spending time on unprofitable activities. So when you first get started, it's so tempting to focus on the trappings of having a business, right? So all the external validation that you're official, you have a website, you've got a logo, you've got your pretty colors, and then you're all shored up and say, okay, I'm ready to start serving. Where are my clients? The truth is your ideal client will change, your offers will change, so spending too much time on your brand will change once you get clear on where there's demand in your market. So you don't want to spend too much time up front. So I want to share a story with you because this will bring this entire thing home for you. Sharon was one of my very, very, very first clients in the Launch Lab. And we had worked together. So before I decided to package my business expertise and start coaching people on launching and growing their businesses, I was doing some life reinvention coaching. And so Sharon was a prior client. And then she came to me when I launched the Launch Lab and she said, Deb, I've done it. I've just quit my job. And she was a director of tax planning for one of the big four accounting firms. And I said, Sharon, that's great. What are you going to do? This is so exciting. And she said, I'm going to be a tax accountant for small businesses. Now, what comes through your mind when you hear tax accountant for small businesses, right? Do you think that is that easily differentiatable, right? So people have businesses or they have personal taxes, well, business taxes. It's pretty straightforward, right? And you would imagine that there's a lot of tax accountants out there in the market. So how do you create a differentiated strategy? And so I asked her to go out and test the market. And what we found was that understanding the risk with cryptocurrency trades and how to report your gains was the number one challenge in this new emerging market of cryptocurrency. She decided that since she was dabbling in cryptocurrency and had figured out, even ahead of the IRS, how some of these gains could be reported, she started advising not only high net worth individuals who are investing heavily in crypto, she also started training other accountants how to handle cryptocurrency reporting, gains reporting on their tax returns. And she devised a course, and then she became a known expert. She created a preeminent position in the market with Bloomberg Tax. She was one of their highlight advisors in their Bloomberg Tax Journal. She was a frequent speaker on panels and keynotes around this whole new emerging area. And last year, Sharon has projected $2.5 million for last year, and she had 9 freelancers and 4 full-time staff. So that's where you can be, let's just say 5 years from now, if you do a really great job of carving out a unique position in your marketplace. So the number one CEO skill to develop is figuring out how you're going to scale from the start, from the very, very beginning. And to prove demand, I want to go through this in a little bit more detail. To prove demand, where are people buying now? Where are they investing? Whether you're selling to companies or you're selling to individuals, what are they investing in now? What are their priorities? And how do we look for new opportunities as markets change? So the markets are always changing. Like 5 years ago, DEI was the most important initiative for most companies. And here we are all these years later and nothing's changed, right? Nothing has happened. So there are a few companies, some percentage of the market is really focused on bringing diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging to fruition as part of their corporate culture, but a lot of them just gave it lip service. So hence all of these people who were former CHROs or former DEI leaders from corporate went to solve this problem, and lo and behold, no one was investing money in it. And so when you pick a lane that you want to own, something you want to be known for, we want to find demand, but we also want to find where is the money going? Step two on packaging and pricing, how can you package your talents and offer your solution? And I never like to assume anything here. The best way to figure out what people need is to have real conversations with people who meet the profile of your ideal client audience and have a lot of conversations and start spotting those patterns and putting together, connecting the dots, putting together your unique framework. In order to have a rinse and repeat strategy, we need to have a framework that is repeatable. And then position to lead the preeminent position in the market is, what do you want to be known for? How do you build a personality brand around your values that's based on your convictions? And this is where I think many entrepreneurs get it wrong, because we've all been taught that, oh, it's all about the know, like, and trust factor. People need to know you. They need to like you. They need to trust you. And I think we really need to flip the lens and look at the people who make up our marketplace. And through our content and through our brand positioning, we build a brand based on how we see and understand our ideal client, so that they can trust themselves in making the right decision to work with us. I hope that landed in the right way. If that gave you an insight, definitely drop down here, because the people who are posting and selling themselves and selling their skills are going to totally lose, because it's not about you. It's totally about your ideal client and who they are and what they care about. So elevating your hero is who your ideal client is. And so that's how you position to lead. And at the beginning of this year, I coined a term called slow marketing. And it's the antidote to mass marketing. It's not one message to many people. It's really deeply understanding where your ideal clients are struggling and speaking to that individual. So if you get this drift, there is a common thread that is being woven through this roadmap for you to launch your business. And it's all about the people that you're serving. And then planning for profits is almost the easy part. It can feel difficult when you're first getting started, because there's so much to do and you're no longer in the corporate space. You're no longer going to your office where your day was absolutely completely planned out for you. There was very little decision-making. I mean, you set your goals, you have your team, you're attending the meetings, you're moving your projects forward. Your first week as an entrepreneur, or even your first month or first year, you can sit down at your desk and say, okay, what the hell am I supposed to do now? And that's what we're going to cover on day five. So this is literally the proven profit path. If you prove demand, you package and price based on where the demand is and where people are investing, and you've tested out that idea and that solution, people have raised their hands and said, yes, when does this launch? I can't wait to be a part of it. Then that's where you go back. And I don't care if you've been in business for 10 years or 5 years or 5 months, that's where you start. And then the content strategy is what we have a lot of fun with, because you need to stop the scroll and you need to look at the common narrative and create a paradigm shift for how people can think about these challenges differently. So you can be the market leader in your space. And would love to have you write down write in chat if you feel generous and you're okay with showcasing what your idea is. What's the problem that needs solving? What is that thing that people are investing in right now that you want to carve a solution around? And how would you go about testing that idea and getting people to invest in your solution? So what do you think the need is right now in your market? So the number one reason for failure we talked about. Tomorrow we're going to dive into demand to create a niche. And let's do some live coaching. So I would love to hear, where are you feeling clear and what questions are coming up for you? Just jump right in, really.
Hi, good afternoon, Deb, and everyone here today. So my question has to do with, when you're looking at that gap, in terms of testing it, you used a phrase about being able to communicate their need. That way they're able to build the trust within themselves. So in terms of testing it, does that mean that we're simply just inviting other individuals? For example, my target is female founders in being able, and what that need that I'm seeing, it's rest. People are investing in rest and being able for me to come alongside them and their company. My question is it more of just setting up one-on-ones with founders to find out what their specific need is? In terms of the willingness for one to just say, well, this is my need and this is what I have.
Yes. So yes. Okay. There's many ways that we can analyze the market now. We're utilizing some AI tools to also look externally at the market, what's happening in this area. My colleagues, Lauren Capwell and Lauren Shaw, are in the room today. They have come into our communities and have trained a little bit on how to analyze what's available in the market. What are those needs that aren't being met? And yes, you must have one-on-one conversations with people who are potential buyers of your services. And there's two ways that we have those conversations. The first is really just in a discovery, like being really curious. How do you handle your own energy levels as an entrepreneur today? Like, what's working, what's not? So we want to make sure that we carve those questions really carefully, because you want to have great answers. And then we're also leveraging AI tools to analyze the results of that. And we'll go into it a bit more tomorrow when we get into the whole demand generation piece. But yes, you have to have real conversations, and at first discovery conversations, and then validating conversations like, okay, thank you so much for all that input. Here's the idea we've come up with. Let me ask you a few questions about that. And is this what's going to actually meet your need?
Thank you. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yes.
Mine is kind of extending off, actually. I am having a hard time determining. It's a little bit of what you said, Deb. I'm trying to find out if there is a need in the market. And I have a lot of individuals that I could speak to, but they're not necessarily individuals in my potential client market. So I'm trying to build a podcast consulting practice that would target universities and colleges. And my objective is to help them meet their customers where they are with content that's valuable in podcasting. I don't know where to go to find out whether or not that is a need. So I'm not sure if I'm a little ahead of the market or whether there is a market. And I don't know how to go about figuring that out.
Yeah. So that's a cool idea. You know, it may indeed be, you know, so I love cool ideas. So, but I also love testing that, you know, it's a thing and people see it as a thing and they're willing to invest in making it good. And so that's what I would want to do. So I do some secondary research. You know, secondary research is like, oh, is there anyone out there doing it already? And then the primary research is talking to the actual potential buyers of the service and asking them if they have thought about it or not, if this is something that they want to pursue, have they already invested in it, and you know what's tripping them up. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow. I want to give all of tomorrow's juiciness away, but it's, you don't want to have to educate a market.
Right.
Because if it's not a thing, if they don't see it as something that they want, and you have to teach people why it's a challenge or why they should want it, then it's a losing battle. So yes. You don't want to be that evangelist that's preaching something to that people just don't want to buy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes.
Hi, Deb, and hello, everyone. Deb, I have a question. Your framework which you presented is beautiful and perfect. But in the real world, when you're starting off as an entrepreneur and you are assessing the market, but you're also assessing the market from, you know, what's going on in the social media space, but also your own research based on what you're receiving from, in my case, it's from my Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have the resources which you had in corporate America, especially when you're launching a new program or a product, is to do a lot of market research and do the value prop and position yourself if it's a competitive market. So how long does it take? Like, when do you need to start this before you actually put a business plan together, or can you do it simultaneously? And the reason I'm asking this question is I've made lots of errors as I was building my program and my business, but I've learned a lot. So I want to do this pretty much the 80-20, do it right for 2024. And I love some of your recommendations on what I need to do, you know, narrowing my niche, et cetera. But it's the time frame when you don't have the resources and you're looking for maybe talking to the tribe or your niche. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Are there any recommendations? Like, do you do it on social media or you just tweet like a LinkedIn or a Facebook group?
Yeah. 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 So that is the place where most people get stuck. And to answer your prior question, you do it anytime you realize you haven't done it. So ideally we want to do it before we launch something, but if you realize, oh, I've launched something, I didn't really test out the idea, then yes, let's go test out the idea. So it doesn't take that much time.
Okay.
So that's your mind that's saying, oh, I don't have the resources. This is why we talk a lot about mindset, right? It takes probably a maximum of 2 to 3 weeks. And that's just because people have schedules that you need to fit into. And then the question that you asked, which is, where do I find these people?
Right.
And they're all around us. And we frequently think that, oh, I don't know where to find them. That could be a LinkedIn group. It could be a Facebook group. It could be that you have a contact who is already in this space and can be sort of an Uber interview of things, trends, and things that they're seeing as professionals in this space as well, if they're willing to share. So it doesn't take, and all you need is anywhere from 12 to 20 interviews. So it's not like we're not doing something that's for statistical validation. So we don't need thousands of surveys that we're analyzing for, you know, statistical validation and a standard deviation. We're not doing that. We're getting qualitative data. And if you do a really great job on your qualitative data, you start spotting the trends after about 7 conversations. That's if you've narrowed it down to the right people. If you're not spotting trends, it might mean that maybe you cast too wide a net. And this is also where we can use the benefit now of we can use AI tools to analyze the data instead of relying on us going through every single transcript and highlighting, you know, oh, here, someone said this before, and we have 10 people who categorize this challenge and, you know, another 7 here. So now we can use AI to, that's what I did on all of your responses. So of all the scorecards you did, I put all the verbatims in and I said to the tool to help me to categorize the most common themes. So, but again, I mean, Lauren and Lauren are here. Crafting the prompt is a science, not an art. Yes.
Hi. Thanks, Deb. There's several kind of bells going off in my head as you're saying some of these things. And I'm wondering, what do you do if you find out? So I have two real questions. One is, what do you do if you find out there is not a demand? Is it about reframing your offerings? What do you pivot to? How do you think about that? And the other question I have is, how do you, if you don't have access to your target client to do this demand, you know, analysis, what can you do? And in my case, so what I do is I do philanthropic advising services. So it's to ultra high net wealth individuals, small foundations or foundations, et cetera. And that's a very hard to get an entry into and access to those people. There's like a guard around them and whatnot. So yep. I don't know how to do the demand generation. My experience in the philanthropic space having worked there for the past 12 years, tells me that there is a need for this. And I'm part of an advisor group, but I just don't know how to do this analysis. And then what do I do if I find out there isn't demand?
Yeah, we celebrate.
Okay.
Celebrate. We found that out in like 3 or 4 weeks' time, and we didn't waste a year trying to sell our idea to people who didn't want to buy it.
Whew, okay.
And you're absolutely right. I have worked with two people in that category in the past. One was successful and one was not. And just think of it this way, Sandra, because if you can't get in to get an interview, how are you ever going to get in to have a sales conversation?
Yeah, it really is about referrals. Once you get that initial client or two, that then because it's a network, they walk around in referring. So yeah, okay, I got a lot to think about.
Yep.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hi, Deborah. Hi, guys. So just to, I guess, reiterate, so you're saying interviewing 12 to 20 people would be good enough to kind of prove your demands. Can you give us some examples of things like, should we be just kind of introducing the product and getting ideas for directions that we should be going in? And then do you recommend having people fill out a survey after you meet with them? Or like, what are some suggestions for how to organize that?
So every business and every ideal client market is slightly different. So we customize those questions. It's part of what we do in the Launch Lab. The reason why I don't like surveys is, you know, if you think about it, people are just super busy. And it's rare, unless you've hit someone with a pain point that's really strong for them right now, people don't spend a lot of time with surveys. And what we want are the answers to those open-ended questions. And that rarely happens with a survey. Occasionally, rarely, you'll get a hyper responder. And a hyper responder is someone who gives you a lot of data in a survey, but it's rare.
Okay. So you're just asking questions and jotting down answers.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, basically. And depending on what is your business idea, Steph?
So I'm launching a women's empowerment brand, and I'm going to be doing one-on-one empowerment coaching. I also want to facilitate like women's groups, like some sort of group empowerment workshops and such. So yeah, so I already have some pro bono clients on my calendar. So I have people that I'm kind of testing my theory on, but I guess I should also be just like reaching out to random people that fit the criteria, like what my customer would be. Maybe.
Yeah. And I think, LinkedIn, you know, through that process, you need to narrow down your criteria. So women's empowerment is like a broad category.
I'm working on that, but just the general sense of like authenticity and empowerment and, you know, making changes in your life to find your true happiness, that sort of thing.
So we want to be careful, and we'll talk more on Thursday with how to carve out that preeminent position. There's something about women's empowerment that would be a niche in that broader category that would probably bring you a lot of money. And you would be able to impact a lot of lives. But in order to do that, we have to really narrow in who is that ideal client, what is going on in their lives, and what does that solution look like to you? Right. So it's almost like, and please take this with a grain of salt. Like years ago, we had someone in this room who said, you know, I help women reinvent from the inside out. And my response to her was, how many people do you know wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and said, oh my God, I need to reinvent from the inside out, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but it tells the story of, you know, oh, I need to empower myself. Like they're not thinking that way. So if you flip the lens, what are the challenges that they're experiencing? What right. types of solutions are they looking for?
I've seen trends with people that I've already talked to. So I don't want to take up time.
No worries.
Yeah, I do have some niches. Thanks.
And sorry, guys, you know, I didn't put up the slide that I'm a truth teller and a straight shooter. I will always tell you exactly what I see.
Hi. Thanks for creating this opportunity for all of us. And so I'm on my journey where I want to help women to really find their uniqueness. And I have a concept called RevUp, and I use a tool called Fascination Advantage. So what I'm asking for is you're suggesting that we go out and identify at least, you know, a dozen people and start talking to them about what it is that they need. Are you suggesting it as a like a set of questions that we should have, asking them what they need, to focusing on what we think they might need? Or what do you suggest when we're developing some of the content we will have when we have that conversation?
That's a great question. You kind of have to open it up with, I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm noticing with many of the women I work with, or I'm noticing with many of the women in my circle, that this thing is happening. Have you noticed that too? Or is that also true for you? Mm-hmm. So you need to come in with some context. So if I were to go into, let's say, a room of women who are members of CHIEF, which is a professional organization for women who are more senior in the workplace, I would ask the question, is anyone here thinking about, frustrated enough with their career that you're thinking about leaving and starting your own business? You know, is that mm-hmm. something you've thought about? And so that would be a filtering question, so that I would get to talk to people who were thinking about launching a business. So think about the rooms that your ideal clients gather in and have that filtering question, so that you're talking to people who at least identify with the problem that you're trying to solve. Does that help?
Okay. Yep. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, Deborah. And hi, everybody. Deborah, of course, you know me anyway. So you know exactly what I've been doing. But what my question is this, and it follows on from the work that we did a couple of years ago, which is I have a product where I provide executive strategy sessions to women leaders who are moving from success to impact. So these are women who are successful, but you know, they're looking to go, you know, one step further, and many of them are transitioning. Now, I actually feel, and I think you've mentioned that before, that the pricing actually is much lower than it should be. Right. But then because I don't have customers coming, you know, I don't have thousands of customers, I don't feel that I can make the prices higher. But what for me, really, I would like, because you know that half my problem is that I am doing far too many things. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing for the future. And this is one product, which is only a product, which I would like to actually be not just a side product, but the mainstay of what I do, because it would allow me to do the other things that I really want to do as well, more public facing things, because, you know, working with women is one-on-one. So right now I need to put in all that, the infrastructure and everything, get it right. I have reached the maximum number of women per period that I set myself, but that's not enough to sustain me, let's put it that way, when I'm doing other things which are not necessarily revenue generating, but are more impactful, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So yeah. The question is, how do I get the value which I know I'm delivering to clients, right, in terms of the pricing, the outcomes, which will help the business and help that side of things become sustainable and help me to be able to spend other time on offering my expertise to other people, to the world, really. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you probably understand exactly what I'm
trying
to get
at. I do. And yeah. It's that, you know, when we have a big mission to fulfill, which includes, you know, sharing your talents with the world at large and impacting, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of people, and that you really don't get paid so much for that, it's, you know, the other work that you do that funds that. So the question I have for you is, where is the resistance on raising the prices? Is it on your side, or have you tried raising prices and you got resistance on the client side?
Yes, I got resistance. In fact, I have one client who just who messaged me just before this call, and I've been speaking to her for a long time, and I just think probably she's not the ideal client, and she wants to speak to me again, right? So that's one. There's another one who was close to. She says this is what I need, and she's a CEO, and she wanted to pay less than a third of the prices. And you know what my pricing is, Deborah.
Yeah.
So you know that is just really not. It's just not sustainable. Yeah.
So my sense is it's somewhere in the value conversation. And sometimes, you know, if you haven't grown up in the sales world and you weren't a sales leader or sales executive, it's about having that conversation. So in general, people have resistance to everything, just to everything. Resistance to change, resistance to investing in themselves. So being able to have a conversation that helps people get beyond their own resistance and understand the cost of staying where they are and the value of change is really the art of having a compelling sales conversation. So it's almost like we're part psychologists as well as experts in our respective fields. And so I'm happy to have that conversation on Wednesday when we start talking about sales and we talk about my way of having sales conversations. But for anyone who is in B2B sales, my colleague, Julie Thomas, has just rewritten the book on value selling. And value selling is the de facto standard of how you sell to corporations versus individuals. It's slightly different for individuals, but in corporations, you sometimes have multiple decision makers. It can get a little political. The value selling framework is our go-to. And Julie was gracious enough to come and speak to our accelerator. And I'm also trained in value selling. So that's the methodology that we teach in our accelerator and mastermind programs. But I'd love to have a conversation with you too. We can talk about more detail around the pricing. So we have 3 minutes. I would love to hear from you. What's one word that represents what you're taking away here today? And definitely take notes. Keep up in the workbook. I know today was fairly easy. Your one assignment is to actually reflect on where you need to focus your attention in the proven profit path framework. Is it demand? Is it pricing and packaging? Is it your position in the market and your marketing? Or is it about how you're focusing your time and attention on your business? Demand. Okay, great. Anyone with a takeaway from today? You know what? If it doesn't scare you, you're not doing the work. Like if we're not terrified every minute, every day, then we're not making enough impact because it is scary. It is scary because you've never been here before and nothing in your system, nothing in your subconscious mind is saying, oh, go for it. Yeah, let's go into uncertainty. Let's risk. You know, it's just not the way we've brought up. And so that's why mindset is equally as important as skill set as we embark on this journey. So thank you so much for coming, my friends. If you have any questions, Christina is your go-to as far as booking time with me. If there's something that you heard here today and you know you want a one-on-one conversation, we are offering that. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. You will get the most out of this week if you show up every single day. Thank you so much, my friends. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.